Intervju Radija Študent.
V današnjem intervjuju Radija Študent se pogovarjamo s Petrom Brcmanom, pihalcem, ki se približuje 70. letu in ki v svoji dolgoletni karieri močno vplival na evropsko improvizacijsko sceno. Intervju se je zgodil po koncertu njegovega tria Full Blast v klubu Gromka na Metelkovi preteklo sredo. Zasedbo člana sestavljata še bobnar Mihael Wertmüller in basist Marino Plijakas.
So, Peter, hello.
Yeah.
How are you feeling after today's concert in Gromka?
Oh, I never know after a concert. I just know nothing.
You know nothing. The head is empty.
Yeah.
But it's not the first time you've played in Gromka and in Slovenia.
No, Slovenia I played quite a bit since years. Gromka is, I think, the second.
You've also played here with, not in Gromka, but in Ljubljana with Zlatko Kaučić.
Yes.
The drummer.
Yes.
How do you feel playing with him?
I like Zlatko's drumming, yeah.
And how is it different with, for example, Michael's drumming?
Yeah, Michael is a special case. I mean, or you don't find very... I mean, a guy like him is very rare. He's not a jazz drummer. Zlatko comes from jazz tradition. And Michael comes from somewhere else. And he comes from more from rock music or contemporary music. And what I like... Michael is the energy he is able to set free, and I always liked energetic drummers. But Zlatko is completely different, of course. Yeah. But don't ask me what the difference is. It's another tradition. It's another way of. Zlatko has lived for quite long years in Amsterdam, for example, and he played with the guys there, and that is another education than the thing Michael is used to do.
Mm-hmm. You also had experience working with American musicians and with European musicians from the improvisers.
Yeah, I don't know if you can make this kind of difference nowadays. I mean, this music really is, over the last 20 years or 30 years, is getting so international. Of course, I mean, I played with American musicians really coming from the blues, like Shannon Jackson, the drummer, or Sonny Shrock, who came from real American guitar tradition. But I think nowadays you can't make these differences anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you are black, you have other problems than if you are a white European. That still is the case. And I mean, I'm working a lot in the States, and it's still a difference if you travel with black guys or if you travel with white guys. And of course, it's another feeling. I mean, I played mainly the drummers I used to work with. The American drummers are all black, and they have certain things European musicians, and especially drummers, don't have. I mean, it's of course still a kind of African heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's, for me, it's always what I don't have myself. I'm interested to find with others. So American dramas out of that perspective were always interesting for me. And Michael has an education, he was playing very young in a symphony orchestra. He studied classical drums. On the side, he studied jazz drums in Zurich and Basel. But he started with his own band, which was a heavy metal rock and roll band. Mm-hmm. And that's when I met him. He played with an old friend of mine from the jazz field, but it was very much rock-orientated. And I met him about 15 years ago, I think. We started to play first as a duo, and then one day Marino joined us. Mm-hmm. And this goes on since about 5-6 years since mm-hmm. then.
So how is your experience with a trio compared to your tentet, for example, your Chicago tentet?
No, yeah, it's quite a difference. I mean, the small groups being on the road with I mean, of course, I like the freedom I have with a trio situation. And I mean, all my bands I was working over the last 5 decades, mainly it had been trios. This has for sure musical reasons, but it has economic reasons too. Because to travel with a 10-piece band, it's an expensive thing to do. So to find work is very rare for that. And on the other, the music side, you can develop, of course, things with a trio. It goes really, to the edge. You can develop things, you can find out things for yourself. The tentet, you don't have the freedom to do certain things because you are responsible for 10 people, and
you can't
my place in the tentet is more to organize the music, because in some years we don't play the scores anymore, no pieces, we just try to improvise, so sometimes my role I see much more than to bring the music in a certain direction. And with a trio, with such an energetic band, I just play. And we all do that, and you are much more able to find out little things and new things, even playing since 50 years the saxophone. I always find new things for myself, and that, of course, is not so often. It's so much happening in a tentet situation. But the tentet, of course, has other things I love to do. I mean, it's 10 people sound. It's different from a trio, of course.
Mm-hmm. Recently, we also presented a record on a radio station from a London trumpetist named Roland Remenen.
Yeah.
Which you also play with, if I remember.
I know Roland since a couple of years. He was some years ago a guest in the tentet. That's when we met. But the funny thing is, I know his father quite well, which was a famous trumpet player, Sheikh Keane. Mm-hmm. And he was a Jamaican guy. He died in between. And he was playing in Germany in the 60s, 70s, 80s. At the end, he was a member of the Radio Big Band in Cologne. And he was really a very interesting guy. He came from London, where he was working with a famous guy, Joe Harriott, in the 60s. And to see Roland then, it was quite an interesting meeting with him. And we played recently, half a year ago, I played with him again in London. And we still are in touch, and we will see what we can do in the future. I like him.
Have you heard the record London from the Tentet? From his Tentet?
Yeah. I think he told me that after he heard the Tentet, or after he played with us, he decided he wanted something like that.
Mm-hmm, you were the inspiration.
So he's trying to set up large ensemble in London, which is not so easy, but he has a couple of really good guys in the band, and it's good to know that you have a little influence on that.
Mm-hmm. So let's go to the beginnings of your jazz involvement.
Oh God. I make it short. I started in the school band as a Dixieland clarinet player, just for fun. And then I left school and I went to the town I'm living since 50 years, Wuppertal. I went to the art school there, and on the side I always try to find people to work with and play my own kind of music, or try to find out what that could be. And so I met, when he was very young, quite well-known bass player Peter Kowald, and the first 15 years we stayed together and worked together. And school band, then I met some semi-professional guys playing some swing, bebop stuff, and then the whole thing started to travel around, and I liked that quite a bit. And in the 60s, the end of 60s, or mid of 60s, I made the decision, okay, that's what I want. So in the mid of 60s, I was lucky to meet some, for me, very important American guys like Steve Lacy and Don Cherry and Carla Bley. And they encouraged me just to do my stuff. And I had all this kind of trio situation together, different drummers mostly. This Peter Kowald on the bass, and I had a chance in 68 to build up my own larger ensemble, which is a quite famous record came out of that, the Machine Gun record. Mm-hmm. And since then I always, when there was some money and some opportunity, I tried to put together some larger ensembles, mm-hmm. which was in these years, I'm talking about the 70s, 80s in Germany. Sometimes it was possible because we had a lot of festivals, we had support from radio stations, and so I was able to invite all my English comrades and the Dutch guys, even in that time some Danish people. So it was quite a good situation in Germany at that time.
In 68, the Machine Gun record was connected to the movement or to the riots, or not? Maybe.
Yes. No. I mean, I lived in that time, and of course you couldn't ignore, for example, the Vietnam War. You couldn't ignore what was going on, especially in Germany, and. But it would be a little bit too simple to draw a straight line from the political situation in West Germany to this machine gun. And to make it clear, the name Machine Gun doesn't come from this heavy political situation. It was a nickname Don Cherry gave me, but of course it fitted together. But I didn't think too much about it. Yeah.
So here in front of me I have a CD from this trio from the year 2006, if I'm right, yes. So maybe that's a question for all three of you, since I have you here, if I may interrupt you during your dinner. There is a quote from the Scottish novelist Alan Warner.
Yeah.
Inside the booklet.
Yeah.
So can you tell me something about it? How does it reflect your music?
I know Alan since long years. And this time he published, I think, his first books. And I just like the way he writes. And I mostly don't like the professional writers writing about jazz. So I found some quotations out of his books, and just for a change.
So, but you do follow, you did follow classical jazz musicians?
Oh, I'm still whatever I listen at home is Coleman Hawkins and Sonny Rollins and things like that. I mean, I'm quite an old-fashioned jazz musician.
What about Sidney Bechet?
Yeah, how do you know?
Information spread.
When I was a kid, I think I was 14 or so, Sidney Bechet was touring. I heard him twice in my life. He was touring once with an American band. He lived already in France at that time, but he got together an American band, and he even came to my town. And I was very, very impressed. And then a couple of years later, I heard him again with a French band, which was not so interesting, but he himself was a very interesting guy. I think he is the only guy, besides Steve Lacy, who can play or could play the soprano saxophone. But what I like is his very straightforwardness, his phrasing. He could play with us anytime. Make any problem, not for us, for him maybe, I don't know. But he was very impressive because he was there, he played, and that was it. Great, without any theater around. Like Louis Armstrong. I mean, he is another guy who was very much underrated. But if people would listen carefully to Armstrong. Say he's a good one. He did a lot of commercial shit, but that's American business. But to listen to Armstrong again nowadays, I would suggest people should do that. Yeah. So you can learn out of jazz history, as I'm sure what I'm listening besides the jazz, a lot of blues. I think the blues is anyway, the essence of music, how I understand it, and I don't mean the 12-bar pieces, I mean it's a very essential human feeling, and you don't have to be black to have the blues. Mm. You don't have to be American to have the blues. I think everybody has it.
Mm.
And yeah.
So is that also one of the feelings that you search for when you're improvising on the stage, or?
I don't search on the stage. I just play, and that's hard enough. And and the good thing is you mostly do it with some people around. And I think that's the most important thing, that there is a kind of communication, kind of correspondence going on between us on stage. Sometimes it's really working perfect. Sometimes maybe it's a bit tough and a bit naya, but if one is not in a good mood, the other kicks your ass, so at the end you get it together somehow.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that will be all.
Yeah, good.
Thank you for the interview.
Oh,
and hope to hear you again in a concert here.
Yeah, could be possible.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Poslušali smo intervju s Petrom Brcmanom, ki je preteklo sredo nastopil v klubu Gromka s svojim triom Full Blast. Intervju je pripravila Maja Matič.
Intervju Radija Študent.